Hi, family. Welcome to God's Word Transforming Lives. Are you wanting to learn the Bible verse by verse, one letter at a time, with real life application? Then this podcast is for you. My name is Amy, and I have been teaching the Word of God to women for over 15 years now. I came out of some trauma from my childhood, and it left me feeling so empty. And after searching high and low with everything the world had to offer, I always came up short until I learned the Word of God for myself. And it was in that I became transformed. So if you would like to be transformed by God's Word, then stick around and let's do this together. Did you know I have a free sisterhood community of women just like you? Women who love Jesus when they love one another? They too are looking for that deeper walk with Christ, and they love learning His Word. If you pause right now and click the link below in the show notes, it'll take you right to the Facebook group. We look forward to getting to know you.
Hi, sisters. So excited. We're getting ready to start on the second Beatitude out of Matthew 5, verse 4. So we've been setting this up where the Beatitudes really do build on each other. And we talked about how Christ sat people down and was about ready to teach them a very important lesson of this new kingdom that's coming, where He is going to be the king. And so He wants to give them this mindset of understanding of who the people in His kingdom are going to be, because they're going to come out of this earthly kingdom is who's going to become the people that live eternally in His kingdom. And so the first one we did was, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And we talked about being poor in spirit, as in those who really recognize that they are sinners in need of a savior. This is so important, that only humble people are going to inherit the kingdom of God. People who recognize that they are devoid of being able to save themselves, that no work that they can do can bring them to salvation. It cannot pay their debt. Doesn't matter what their status here is on this earth. Doesn't matter how much money they have. Doesn't matter how many times they've walked grandma across the street. They cannot be saved on their works or who they are. It is through the work of Jesus Christ alone. It is faith alone, in Christ alone, by the grace of God alone. They're not by works, lest any man should boast. And so setting that up, because we said the Beatitudes build on one another. So the first one that Jesus teaches is literally the beginning of it all, the gospel. You are a sinner in need of a savior. And you cannot recognize that if you are not humble, if you do not realize that you are truly devoid of any ability to save yourself. And so that's the first thing He's saying to this crowd. And this is what He's saying to all of us today through His Word. We must humble ourselves before a mighty God, a holy God, and recognize that we are sinners. Now, we talked about there's three elements to every beatitude. Every beatitude has three elements to it. So, blessed, that's the first element. This is when you are the second element. That first element, you become somebody who is happy, who is content in God, who now has right thinking and right actions. You live a godly pattern. And so under the word blessed there in your Bibles, you can underline that and put a number one, just as a reminder about the elements, because every beatitude has three elements. The number two element, which is the kind of person who will inherit Christ's kingdom. So this is very important. You're not going to inherit God's kingdom if you are not poor in spirit. You are not going to inherit God's kingdom if you do not mourn, which is the one we're getting ready to talk about today. The third element of every beatitude is the reward. What is your reward for this obedience? What is this reward for this new character, this transformed life that's going to be taking place for all who are a part of His kingdom? In this particular beatitude, which is verse 4, is they shall be comforted. Those who mourn will be comforted. That's the reward. But it's only those who mourn, okay? They will have the blessings. They will be blessed by God. They will have the blessings of His kingdom, of His spiritual blessings, okay? So one is blessed, two is those who mourn, three, they shall be comforted. So let's look at that today. Let's look at what this beatitude is. What's it mean to mourn? Is this people who cry when someone passes away? Is this someone who just mourns over the state of the world? What does this mean? Well, remember, they build upon each other. So first, you're poor in spirit. So now you've recognized that you are a sinner, that you are destitute, you've become a beggar in need of a savior. So what should that cause? Repentance. What is repentance? It's a mourning of your sin. I'm so sorry, God. I am so sorry that I have sinned against you, that I am this sinner in need of a savior. So the Greek word for mourn is pentheo, pentheo, which means to lament, to mourn, especially over the dead or deep grief. So it's describing the type of mourning that he's talking about here. There are nine different Greek words that are used to describe sorrow in the New Testament, but out of all nine of those, this word, pentheo, is the strongest meaning of sorrow. It represents the most heartfelt grief. Generally, it's grief over a lost loved one. So it's that deep grief that you feel, that deep sorrow, that mourning, of somebody that you lost that you loved dearly, the loss of someone in your life that if you've ever lost somebody in your life that you've deeply loved, deeply cared for, you understand that pain of the grief that comes along with that. And that's what this pentheo here, Jesus uses the word pentheo or mourning. That's what this is describing here. So when you realize that you are a sinner in need of a savior, it should bring you into this deep sorrow because I'm in trouble. I what am I going to do? I can't earn it. I can't work my way into heaven. So what do? You mourn. I repent, God. I am so sorry that I am a sinner in need of a savior. I have sinned against you, God. I have broken every law. You are holy and I am not. Save me. Forgive me for my sins, Lord. Forgive me for what I have done. It's that humble, repentant attitude, deep sorrow for your sin. Okay. So you think of 2 Corinthians 7, 10 through 11. It says, for godly grief, so this is godly grief, that's what we're talking about here, produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret. You won't regret it. You repent of your sins, put your faith in Jesus Christ, you're not going to regret it. Whereas worldly grief produces death. For see the earnestness that is godly grief has produced in you, but also what eagerness is clear yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what longing, what zeal, what punishment. At every point, you have proved yourselves innocent in the manner. So there's two different types of grief or repentance. There's a godly grief where you recognize, I am a sinner. I have sinned against a holy God. I have really screwed this up. And then God grants you that repentance where you realize, I am mourning over my sin. I am so sorry, God. Please forgive me. Then there's a worldly grief. Or worldly repentance. This is totally different. This is what he's saying here. This doesn't lead to salvation. This leads to death. This is the sorrow of, I got caught. I'm not actually sorry. I'm just sorry that I got caught. So an example would be, you say you stole something. So here's the scenario. I stole something from work. Say I stole something from work. I stole $1,000, whatever. And I came home and I was like, I can't believe I just stole $1,000. Like, I should never have stolen $1,000. And your conscience is just eating you up. And so you go back to work the next day and you go up to the boss and you're like, listen, I have to confess something to you. Now, say they would have never found out about it. There was no way for them to know that you stole $1,000. But you are feeling so guilty, so remorseful that you go into your boss's office and you say, I have to confess this to you. I stole $1,000 yesterday and it's eating me alive. And I'm so sorry. And here's your money back. Please forgive me. I'm just so sorry. I put myself at your mercy seat. I deserve to be fired. I deserve to never be trusted again. But I at least want to admit this is what I did. And here's the restoration. Here's the $1,000 back. That is godly sorrow. You did not do it because someone made you do it. Nothing. Now, worldly sorrow is I stole the $1,000. I may even have remorse, but I don't care. I'm not gonna do anything. I don't want to get caught. I don't want to tell anybody. Maybe I feel bad about it, but I stole the $1,000 and that was it. Well, then all of a sudden they see me on camera stealing the $1,000. So now they bring me into the office and they're like, we see that you stole $1,000. Now all of a sudden, I'm sorry. Why? Because I got caught. And the consequence of getting caught is what I'm actually sorrowful for. Because I'm not actually sorry. Because if I was truly sorry, I would have done something about it before I got caught. The fact that I got caught and now I'm sorry, I'm only sorry because the consequence. I'm gonna get fired. I'm gonna maybe go before a judge, maybe I'll go to jail, maybe, whatever the consequences would be for that sin, what you did. And so what I'm really sorry about is that I got caught. I'm sorry that I'm gonna lose my job. I'm sorry that my family's gonna find out. I'm sorry that I might go to jail. I'm sorry that, maybe it'll be in the paper, maybe it'll be blasted all over social media, whatever. I'm sorry about the consequence, but not necessarily the crime. I'm not really sorry that I did it. I'm just sorry for the consequence when I got caught. And that is the difference. And that one leads to death because that is not true humility. That is not true mourning. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. It's those who mourn over their sin. They have a godly repentance. They recognize that they are sinners and that they have messed up and that they have done some vile things and that they're going to stand naked and accountable before God. And they are mourning over that sin right now. Like, God, I repent. I need saved. Like, help me. I just didn't know. I didn't realize. I didn't understand the fullness of my sin. I didn't understand the fullness of your holiness and what it really means to be a sinner. I didn't really understand why you came here. And this is what Jesus is explaining to this crowd. You guys are sinners and you need a savior. The law can't save you. So you got to remember, this is a Jewish nation. They're still slaughtering animals. They're keeping every law. They're going to temple. They're paying their 10% or more than that, actually, like 23%, temple taxes and tithes and offerings and all. They're doing everything they're told to do. They're keeping the Sabbath. They're doing all these rituals to try to keep, to try to, have good, to be good before God. And here's Jesus saying, nothing you do is good. Your works are but filthy rags before a holy God. You need a final sacrifice. I am He. I'm the Messiah. I have come. This is what I've come for. And this is so mind-blowing to them. And so saying to us 2,000 years later, you need the my blood to cover your debt. You need washed in the blood. You need my righteousness and my holiness. And it's a godly repentance. So he says here that forgiveness will come. Forgiveness will come. That's the next part of this. They shall be comforted. See, you're a sinner in need of a savior. And if you repent, if you confess your sin, repent, ask for forgiveness, Jesus says, I am faithful to forgive. If you put your trust in the finished work of the cross and believe that Jesus paid the ransom for you, he paid your debt in full, that he is the only acceptable sacrifice by the Father, he says, I will comfort them. They'll be comforted. What's that mean? You'll have peace with God. He'll wipe away those tears. Forgiveness comes and comfort comes. But only those who mourn over their sin will have their tears wiped away. These blessings are not for the unrepentant. It's only for the believer who comes to saving faith. So yes, you're going to mourn over your sin. There's going to be this mourning period, like, wow, I messed this up. And then here comes the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, I paid the price. God gives you the godly sorrow, that repentance. You have faith to believe in that truth of the gospel. You mourn, You ask for forgiveness, you're sorrowful over your sin, and here's Jesus. He says, I paid it all. I paid it all for you. And that's going to bring you such comfort. It brings me such comfort to know that I have peace with God now. It says in 1 John, that love casts out all fear. What's he talking about there? He's not talking about fear of spiders or anxiety or whatever. He's talking about the fear of judgment in that passage. That we don't have to fear God's judgment anymore because we've repented, put our faith in Christ, and he has covered us in his blood. And so we are comforted by that. And even though we don't become sinless perfection, this is so important because we don't become perfect when we become born again. And so I still mess up. I still sin. And when I do, I confess that sin and I'm comforted in the fact that there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Romans 8:1. That even though I do still mess up, I still do the things I don't want to do, and I don't do the things I want to do. And oh, wretched sinner that I am, how much longer must I deal with this body of death? Romans 7, Paul talk, that's Paul exactly what he says. But he says, praise be to God, I am covered in the blood. That's why there's no condemnation. Yes, that is not an excuse to continue to sin. That should humble us before a holy God and cry out to him to continue to help us. But he brings comfort to us every time we sin and confess it to him. There's a comfort that comes. That's the reward. That's the third element of this beatitude. You will be blessed. You'll have right thinking, right actions, right attitude. You'll have peace of God, comfort, joy, his love. If you mourn, if you repent of your sin, that poor in spirit, recognizing you're a sinner, and then you repent. And then he's going to bring you comfort. Says here in Revelation 7:17, for the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd. He'll become our shepherd. He'll guide us and lead us. We won't hear the voice of a stranger anymore. John 10, we'll only hear the voice of our good shepherd. And he will guide them to the springs of living water. What did he offer the woman at the well? Living water that she would never thirst again. He was offering her the gospel, himself, the lamb who was slain for us. And then God will wipe away every tear. This is so beautiful, you guys. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort of which we ourselves are comforted by God. We have the ministry of reconciliation. Once we have become poor in spirit, we've mourned over our sin, we've placed our life at the altar of God, we've become born again. We now have that ministry of reconciliation where we can go after those who need the glorious gospel, and they too will be comforted if they receive it. Glory to God Almighty. So beautiful, you guys. When we mourn over our sin, God is there to comfort us, and he will wipe away every tear and remind us of this glorious gospel that has saved us for all of eternity. And even covers our sin when we still mess up. Confess your sin, and he is faithful to forgive. This should cause rejoicing. So after the morning, right? Nighttime has the morning, but in the mo or nighttime, the morning comes at night, but joy comes in the morning, as in the next day. So we have that morning, that MOURNING, the mourning, the deep sorrow, and then joy comes when he forgives us. So what are some things that might hinder us from mourning? What are some things that harden our hearts in mourning for our sin? Now, there's the initial mourning of your salvation. The gospel, recognizing that you are a sinner in need of a savior. You need to repent, put your faith in Jesus Christ. Excuse me, become born again. But when you're still messing up and you're in the sanctification road and you're still, you're fighting with sin, you're fighting and warring with the sin that still dwells within you. What are some things we can do? What are some things that cause us to resist mourning over our sin? Well, one is we read the word and we don't obey it. That'll harden you. God will harden your heart in that area. He'll say, I keep telling you that this is a sin. I keep telling you that this is a sin. And then your heart just kind of gets harder and more dull. Your conscience just kind of gets a little more seared to it. Doesn't mean you lost your salvation or that, God doesn't still love you, but it does bring this separation, this weirdness in our relationship. So we need to, when we read the word, we need to obey the word. We need to really use the word of God as a mirror into our lives. As you're reading it, God, how does this relate to me? How does this affect me? Where am I falling short in this area that I'm reading? Where can I do better? We have the power. The Holy Spirit's been given to us. We'll talk about that in the next Beatitude. When we love our sin so much that we're refusing to remove any obstacles to it. Say, I love pornography. I love the way it makes me feel. I love the high that I get from it. And so you're just refusing to do everything you can to cut it off. Putting parental blocks on, or what, I don't know what they do nowadays, but I think there's like a ministry out there, or some kind of app or something that you can put on your phone. Or you know what? Get rid of the smartphone and just go back to a flip phone. I know some men who have done that. Do what you got to do. Get off all social media if it's a temptation for you. Have a men Bible study that you're a part of where they're holding you accountable. We got to cut it off. Jesus said, if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. Now, don't go cutting your right hand off. It's a metaphor, but it's to take sin seriously, that it's not worth being thrown into hell for. Do what you got to do. Sometimes we just love our sin so much, we refuse to remove the obstacles. So remove the obstacles. If you are vaping or smoking and you know God has dealt with you on that, do what you got to do. Throw everything away, cut up any credit cards. If you're on an auto delivery, close the auto delivery, whatever it is, I don't know. Get an accountability person, like pray with me. Let's talk about this every day. Be in the word, talk about, look up the scriptures on being in bondage to anything. Listen, if what you're doing, this is important. If what you're doing, you cannot put it down right now and walk away from it, you are in bondage to it. You're in bondage to it. If you can't lay down that cigarette or that vape and completely walk away from it right now, then you're in bondage to it. And we're not to be in bondage to anything other than Jesus Christ. Paul says, all things are good for me. All things are, I can do all things. Not that we can go do drugs and all that. And I'm not talking about that, but he's just talking about basic things, but not everything's profitable. And I will let nothing have control over me. That's where the sin lies. The sin lies that the vape controls you, controls your mood. There's an addiction there. You have to have it. And so you're not being controlled by the Holy Spirit in that, right? And I can say the same thing about sugar and processed foods and alcohol and drugs and sex and gambling and buying things, materialism, spending money, pride, ego, social statuses. I mean, I don't want to pick on smokers. And if you're struggling with vapes and smoking, listen, I've heard that that is one of the hardest addictions to break. Because it's so more habit than anything and whatnot. So I pray for you. You do have the power to overcome. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. If you're born again, you have the power to overcome. So just start reading Romans 6, 7, and 8 every day and start taking those thoughts captive and just ask the Holy Spirit to continue to help you and reach out for prayer. Reach out. We're here to help. I'm here. I love you. Like there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, but we do want to be set free from the things that beset us, right? And so remove any obstacles. Do not use the grace card. This is another thing. When we start using the grace card as a reason to justify our willful disobedience, then we're not mourning over our sin. Once we start justifying, once we start using the grace card for everything we do, that's where your heart will get more and more hardened. So stop procrastinating. Repent immediately. Don't delay your repentance. God loves you. He chose you. He knows who you are. He knows what you what you're doing. He knew you from the foundation of the earth. He knew when he got you what he was getting. He knew that you were going to be somebody who would struggle with vaping or struggle with, gambling or struggling with, pride, struggling with materialism, struggling with vanity, whatever it is. He knew. And he still chose you. He still loves you. But he loves you too much to keep you in bondage because he's a jealous God in a good way. He is our bridegroom and he is not going to share us with anything and anyone. And he is certainly not going to share us with idols. And that's what this stuff is. It becomes idolatry. And we all battle it. Sister, you are not alone. We all have these things that are that win the affections of our heart all the time. And so we have to keep coming back to the cross and coming back to mourning over our sin, coming back to repentance. So don't delay the repentance because God loves you. He's there. His grace is there. Just go after it. The second you sin, just go after it. Don't think that you have to go and read the Bible for 3 hours and then go to two church services before you can then come before God. That's a works mentality. Jesus paid it all, past, present, and future. Go grab your comfort. Grab your comfort. It's for those who mourn over their sin. So stop procrastinating. Study sin in the Bible. Learn what the Bible has to say about sin and the seriousness of it and the destruction of it. Pray and ask God to give you a humble heart to mourn and thank Him for the comfort that precedes. Listen, God, I feel hardened in this area. I feel like I know that we've talked about it. I know that you have, pressed upon my heart that I got to give up this besetting sin, this idol, and I haven't, and I kind of feel indifferent about it now. But God, give me a burning desire to lay this down for you. Help me, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are living within me. I am victorious in Christ. I have overcome sin. Romans 6. Why do I still continue in this way? Romans 7. But thank you that there's no condemnation, but I do want to smash it once and for all, Lord. And thank you that you comfort me. Thank you that you are walking this out with me. Thank you that you will not leave me or forsake me. Thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy. And help me not to make it as an excuse to continue in it. And you will be comforted. That's the reward. Comfort. You're going to have that initial comfort knowing that you are saved and set apart for God, that you've been redeemed, that all of your sin has been wiped away, it's been washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. But then you're going to be comforted every time you confess your sin to God. And it's as far as the east is from the west. He's not keeping an account. Perfect love casts out all fear. And his love is so perfect for you and me. But we don't want to just walk around willy-nilly. We don't have a grace card that we just pull out. That's not our walk. Our walk is to discipline our bodies before God, to take care of the temple that he has given us, that he dwells in, to take sin seriously, to crucify the flesh, crucify it, to pick up our cross every day and follow Jesus, to be good witnesses before the Lord. We don't want to be hypocrites telling one person, taking the plank out of one person's eye, like, you need to stop doing drugs and you need to stop having sex outside of marriage while I'm smoking my vape and telling you that. An idol is an idol. Sin is sin. Let us walk worthy in our calling, guys. Let us represent Christ. He dwells in us. We are his hands and feet. We are representing him. Now, yes, we fail and we fall and we're definitely not perfect like he is, but that doesn't mean we don't strive to be. We want to show the world the best reflection of Christ that we can. Dressing modestly, taming our tongue, living in holiness and purity and righteousness, walking in love, walking with a peace that they see, a joy. Even in hard times, they see this joy. Like, how is she so joyful right now when her whole world's falling apart? Jesus, that's how, right? That's the testimony. So I just encourage you in that today, that you'll be blessed. If you mourn over your sin and God promises to comfort you. Lord, I just lift up my sisters right now. Father, if there is anything that they are battling and struggling with, as we all are, Father, that you would just comfort them, give them the ability for the repentance, Lord, like pour out that godly sorrow that leads to repentance, or has repentance that leads to salvation, God. There's somebody listening, they're not truly born again, Father, that they would hear your gospel message and mourn over their sin and repent, and that you would come and make a home in them and give them your Holy Spirit as a deposit and a guarantee for you to come back for them, God. Continue to sanctify all of us as we are growing from glory to glory to look more like you. Take out anything in our lives that is not pleasing to you, anything that is an idol, anything that is taking our affections, Father. Continue to walk with us as we try to walk humbly before you, God. Bless my sisters in every way. Bless their health, their businesses, their jobs, their homemaking, Father God, as they're raising up the next generation. Bless their finances. You know, as finances are being tight and tough for a lot of us, Father, with the inflation and everything that's going on. Lord, I know a lot of people are struggling, and I pray over them, Father. Your children will not beg for bread. You are there with us, Father. I pray for provision. I pray, Father, for marriages, God, that you would reconcile marriages and help the marriages get their eyes on you and come and be that one flesh that you have made us to be, God. I pray, Father, for lost loved ones and prodigal children, and that you are just touching the earshot, whoever's listening or watching this, that you're touching their lives, opening their lives up to the word of God, and that you're transforming them, Father, because your word is what transforms us. And so I thank you for each and every one of them, Father. I thank you for them in my life, and just you all are so dear. So in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. I love you guys. Till next time.
Family, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If it has blessed you in any way, would you give me 30 seconds and share it with a friend of yours? One more small little favor, if you would. Head over to whatever podcast source you're listening to this on and give me a 5-star review. That would be so great. It helps get the episodes out there to other people who may be wanting to learn God's Word. Again, don't forget, guys, until next time, it is a crockpot faith, not a microwave. With God's word, discipleship, and patience, you too will be transformed for his good work. Grace and peace I leave with you until next time.